Well, good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to Unity Center of Light, located in Bowie, Maryland. I'm Reverend Millage Mosby.
And I'm Pamela Mosby.
And we look forward to bringing you this service today. We ask that if you are inspired by this service today, would you please click on the subscribe button below? And, you know, and if it, you know, it's something that you really enjoyed and got some value out of it, would you please click on the like button and also write a comment so that we know that we are serving you in the way that you want to be served and sharing a message that you want to hear. Mm-hmm. So we'd appreciate those three things. Click on the subscribe button, click on the like button if that is the case for you, and also write a comment. And also, again, if you're inspired by this service, we appreciate your donations, and you can find how to donate to Unity Center of Light by clicking on the show more button right below this frame if you're watching it on YouTube. You know, we appreciate all the donations that you send to support us as we are doing this work. So right now, we're going to get started with Pamela.
Thank you. Well, good morning, Unity family, and welcome to the Unity Center of Light, a spiritual community that nurtures the growth of all who are seeking to develop the potential of their spirit, mind, and body. Please join me as we affirm our mission and foundation statements together. Let's begin with the mission statement. The mission of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine potential. We teach there is a power within each of us far greater than anything that exists outside of us. And now let's affirm our foundation statement together. There is only one power and one presence active in our lives and affairs, God the Good, Omnipotent. Amen. And now we have the daily word reading for today, Sunday, June 16th. The key word is joy, and the affirmation is, I delight in simple joys. Joy, it has been said, comes much more from wanting what we have than from having what we want. Reflecting on this thought, I embrace simple joys that this day offers. I enjoy my morning coffee or tea, savoring its flavor or fragrance. Walking through my neighborhood, I greet friends, smile at people I haven't met yet, and enjoy the fresh air. I find satisfaction in taking care of my home, working at my job, or helping a friend. Even if I am not with them today, I feel joy as I think of my connection with the people I care most about. I know joy whenever I look for possibilities rather than focusing on problems. My greatest joy is my awareness that wherever I am, whatever I am doing, God is always with me. And the scripture is taken from Psalm 16:11, and it reads, "You show me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. In your right hand are pleasures forevermore." Amen. And now we will have the Sunday message with Reverend Butch.
Thank you, hon. So we are continuing on this journey. Let's call it an inner journey to understand and just, you know, more about ourselves from a spiritual perspective. And we're always, again, you've heard me use that word, circumambulation. We're always circumambulating our own inner dynamics to try to understand how do we get closer to understanding the truth of our being. And this week's talk is called Walking Through the Challenges and Consolations in Our Lives. I first actually thought about the title of Walking Through the Challenges and Consolations in Scripture. But I, you know, wanted to make it more personal. Of course, my staff had some input into helping me to, you know, to convert it to this title. But this week, we're looking into the deeper meaning of the second of the eight spiritual guidelines given to us by Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. And these spiritual guidelines, called the Beatitudes, are explaining the attitudes or ways of being that will help us to become more and more aware of the spiritual side of our being. And this takes some serious inner work, okay? As Alethea on Lumen explains it, she says, when you commit to inner work, you're turning your pain into power, like a true spiritual alchemist. Naturally, this inner work leads to creating authentic, bone-deep change in yourself, little by little. And that's what we are striving to do, to create this bone-deep change in ourselves, little by little, as we begin to understand more and more about the inner dynamics that are available to us when we learn how to tap into them. So these lessons are a deeper look into how to approach the inner work we have committed ourselves to. And we frequently talk about God within us, okay, which is true, all right? But to reach the next level of understanding of this divine reality, the study of the Beatitudes helps us to realize that God is within us as us. God is within you as you. God is within me as me. And you've heard me say many times, as Eric Butterworth explains, God is within, is not within you like a raisin within a bun. Rather, metaphorically, God is the bun, right? Which, of course, you are the bun. You are God expressing. You know, that's sort of the idea. So the whole of you is God. The whole of me is God. And this godness that we are is constantly bringing us back to a state of wholeness and awareness of the truth about ourselves. So listen to this personalized paraphrase of Zephaniah 3:17-18. And I say personalized because I changed some of it to make it more personal. For it says, "For the Lord my God has arrived to live within me." And, you know, the original is "For the Lord, you know, God has arrived to live within you." But this is just to personalize it. "For the Lord my God has arrived to live within me as me. God is a mighty Savior. God will give me victory over my life. God will rejoice over me with great gladness. God will love me and not accuse me." Now, is that a joyous choir here? No, it is the Lord, God of my being, exulting over me in happy song. Okay? And in John 14:10, Jesus brings this idea of God in me as me a bit closer when he proclaims, he says, "Do not," and you know these verses, "do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? I am in the Father and the Father is in me." So Jesus makes it very clear that there's a oneness in this dynamic of this God in me idea. "And the words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me, which is doing the work." Okay, so these are the personalized statements that we find in Scripture, and that's only a few of them, okay, that we would come across in terms of this idea of this oneness in the Spirit that we are. So the purpose of this God in me as me discussion is to further open up our minds to the divine reality of our true nature, which is helpful when we're trying to decipher Scripture and then apply that Scripture to our lives. And that's what we're trying to get to. Because a lot of times you read Scripture and you kind of go, "Yeah, I don't get it. I don't get how that's going to help me to go through what I'm going through." All right? So we want to try to understand that from a very much deeper perspective. And our approach to Scripture, as you know, is metaphysical rather than literal. Now, this is how Richard Rohr, he's an American Franciscan priest, and this is how he explains it in his book, Jesus, the Alternative Plan. The challenge of using, he's explaining the challenge of approaching the Bible literally, okay? And this is what he says. He says, "The human need for clarity and certitude leads fundamentalists to use sacred writings in a mechanical, closed-ended, and authoritarian manner. This invariably leaves them trapped in their own culture moment in history. And they often totally miss the real message, along with the deepest challenges and consolations in Scripture. In the name of taking the word literally, the fundamentalist is, in fact, missing the depth of truth in the literal word." Okay? So this is a challenge that, you know, we're seeking to overcome as we delve deeper and deeper into the meaning of Scripture. That being, to not get stuck in the literal surface meaning of Scripture, especially as we work our way through understanding the ways of being expressed in the Beatitudes. Now, Emmett Fox, in his book, The Sermon on the Mount, explained Jesus' teaching is entirely spiritual and metaphysical. Okay? So with this in mind, the beatitude that we're looking at this week is, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Now, this beatitude prompted the title of this week's lesson, which is Walking Through the Challenges and Consolations in Our Lives. Okay? So our goal in this lesson is to seek out the consolation and comfort in Scripture that will help us through the challenges in our lives. And probably one of the most comforting scriptures in the Bible in terms of consolation and encouragement is the 23rd Psalm. Okay? We all know the 23rd Psalm, just like we know a lot of Bible verses. But the key here is, do we really know it? Okay? And do we know what it's saying to us? So, and the idea when we talk about consolations is that mean that which provides comfort. So to set the foundation for this particular beatitude, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Let's take a closer look at the comforting message that David, as a shepherd boy, crafted that became the 23rd Psalm. Now, try to listen with new ears, and you're going to see that I changed some of the words to make it a little bit more personal, and also to take the he pronoun out of it. Okay, so it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. God as me makes me lie down in green pastures. God as me leads me beside still waters. God restores my soul. God as me leads me in the path of righteousness for my name's sake. Thank you, for my true name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now let me just say here that the rod and the staff is what the shepherd used to keep the sheep from getting lost. And, you know, if they, the rod was to fight off wolves, you know, to fight off any kind of danger, right? And the staff was used to pull the sheep back if they were straying off somewhere that was going to get them hurt. So just kind of understand how that applies to us in terms of the rod of the universe protecting us from evil and the staff always pulling us back into, you know, the right path when we find ourselves wandering off. And they say, and it says that the rod and the staff, they comfort me, knowing that God is always there protecting me. And thou prepareth the table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the consciousness of God in me as me forever. Okay? So we added some new dynamics to it, and we're going to go through parts of that to help us have a deeper understanding of what that means in terms of our lives, in terms of challenges and consolations. So this particular psalm was written by David as a shepherd boy, and it offers us great hope and comfort. He wrote a poem of praise and thanksgiving, giving us a great lesson on the protection and comfort we receive from God. That which is the Lord or divine keeper within our own being. So this psalm is sharing what can happen in life when our minds and hearts are focused on God as a true reality of our being. And when we are firmly clear that this divine presence is seeking to live through us as us, we experience peace and harmony, prosperity and healing, guidance and protection, happiness and great joy. So David is expressing a great sense of optimism about the potential of his future and about the state of his consciousness in times to come. So great joy and abundance are the theme of his song, and in addition to singing it for himself or saying it for himself, he was inadvertently teaching it as the potential for the lives of every one of us. It's a universal poem that expresses the wonder and the joy that, you know, focused attention on the divine presence within us will bring to every one of us. So the question we must each ask ourselves is, do I live my life in constant awareness that God is within me as me as a source of all that I want and need, that God is in me as my shepherd and my guide. Okay? See, this is the inner awareness that brings consolation and comfort to our mind, body, life, and affairs when challenges disrupt our sense of peace and faith. And it says in this song, I shall not want. God in me makes me lie down in green pastures. Green pastures, metaphysically interpreted, represent divine substance, which will take on a form that can be utilized by the one praying to manifest his or her wants and needs. Okay? So to lie down in green pastures is to rest in a state of inner knowing that God is working in coordination with your heart and mind to bring into manifestation those things that you want and need, especially in those challenging times in your life. And as it is explained in, you know, Matthew 6:8, for your Father knows what you need even before you ask. And you might have always said, well, how is that? It's because God is in you as you, okay? You are the expression. This dynamic universal presence is involved in every vibration that's going on within you, okay? And in Luke 12:32, it says it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Okay, again, that consolation that, you know, what I need is always being, you know, manifested for me. So these are just some of the many comforting statements in Scripture. But the weight is on each one of us to acknowledge, claim, and consciously accept this truth for ourselves and about ourselves. You know, about ourselves, the idea that God is in me as me, you know, manifesting and working to bring up into expression these things that I say that I need and want in my life. So the question that we each must continuously ponder is, am I able to let go of negative, fearful thoughts, lie down in green pastures, and allow the Lord of my being to heal me of all my fears? Okay, let me say that again. Am I able to let go of negative, fearful thoughts, lie down in green pastures, and allow the Lord of my being to heal me of my fears? And it'd be really interesting, really, to have a discussion around that, thinking about the things on your life that you might be, you know, thinking about, and say, can I let all that go and just lie down in green pastures? Okay, allow the Lord of my being to heal me of this, whatever the fear might be. And the psalmist said, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Okay. The enemy is anything that I allow to enter into my mind and disturb my relationship, my oneness, my connectedness with my indwelling divinity. You know, that becomes the enemy. And as we all know, stuff does happen. But it's in those moments of stuff happening that we want to be able to remember and to turn to the table prepared by God and mentally and emotionally consume the comfort of knowing that God is truly in charge. You see, the table of God is filled with the luscious choices of love and forgiveness, peace and harmony, courage and strength, hope and faith. These are thoughts that, when mentally, emotionally consumed, fill you with the peace that surpasses all understanding. But in spite of this elaborate menu of divine cuisine, you know, that we often still choose to eat from the table prepared from our fearful ego. Okay? And this table is often filled with hurt and pain and mistrust and jealousy and condemnation and turmoil and weakness and hopelessness. Ask yourself the question, at which table do I frequently dine? All right? And then the next line of the poem can help us with this choice. It says, thou anointest my head with oil. Now, this is symbolic of the fact that when our mind is firmly and consciously focused on our inner Christ, as the Lord of our being, or the law of our being, okay, when we're focused on this inner Christ consciousness as the Lord or law of our being, and the head of our life and affairs, there's an outpouring of spiritual energy freely flowing within us, anointing our mind, body, and spirit. This is the true source of healing. Okay? And so it says that the anointing with oil is the thought of love being poured over anything and everything that has to do with the life of the individual who is open and receptive to God's living spirit of truth. And just remember, this spirit of truth, God, is always willing to anoint you. So you must always remain in a state of mind that is ready and willing to be anointed. Okay? Because God cannot anoint us unless we're willing to accept a new way of thinking, a new way of being. That's what the anointing is. You know, we're going through this stuff in our minds about how things are, what's going on, and it's troubling us. But this anointing, for us to receive that anointing, we must be able to allow ourselves to let our thinking be changed to a new way of thinking, a new way of being, a new way of looking at whatever is going on. And as we said in last week's lesson, we must be willing to be guided into the new world order that Jesus taught us about in the Sermon on the Mount. So, you know, when the psalmist said, "My cup runneth over," the cup represents the consciousness of eternal life. So if my cup, meaning my consciousness, is overflowing with the awareness of the eternal nature of God's life in my life, then there could be no room for thoughts of fear and sickness and death. In this state of mind, fear of loss, fear of sickness, fear of death are erased from the mind of the spiritual practitioner because we know the truth which sets us free from our ego's deception. Okay? And that's I know that's a mouthful. That's a lot. Okay? But the key here is at least that we know it. So in the knowing of it, we can begin to at least entertain these ideas in our mind. Stuff comes up, you know, and you go, yeah, that stuff is real for me. But let me just entertain these ideas of God in me, as me, anointing my head with oil, meaning anointing my mind, giving me new ideas, new ways of looking at this. And if we look at the final part of the 23rd Psalm, it promises that there is a sense of everlasting peace and joy that comes upon us when we consciously choose in everything that occurs in our lives to turn our attention to the one power and one presence, which is God, the good, omnipotent. And that's expressed in the verse, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house," meaning the consciousness of the Lord, "forever." So I chose this psalm as a backdrop for the Beatitude because the 23rd Psalm provides a formula for living in peace and love with the guidance of Spirit, even while we are going through some of the worst times of our lives. And most of us have learned how to, you know, basically live a happy life in spite of the challenges we face, right? We figured it out, right? We have learned how to cope, and here's the word, with the challenges and circumstances we find ourselves in. But this psalm is teaching us a way of being that's very different from just coping with the hardships in our lives. Instead of coping, this psalm is teaching us how to become masters of our life with the help of the divine presence within us. It teaches us that suffering is not a necessary path to finding God. Let me say that again. It teaches us that suffering is not a necessary path to finding God. However, quite often, religious leaders will use this beatitude to justify our suffering. How many of you have heard it said, "Oh, it must be God's will"? It might have been said to us, or we might have even said it to ourselves. Well, yes, if you take this beatitude literally, you might think that that's what it means. However, Jesus understood that suffering, again, was not a necessary path to getting God's attention. Jesus knew that in truth, suffering was not necessary at all. Suffering is a path we have chosen because up to this point in our evolutionary process, we did not know that there was another way to spiritual enlightenment or there was another way to healing. Okay? So that's why they talk so much about the spiritual process as being an awakening. Okay? Because what we all did, we did it innocently because we did not know that there was another path. Right? We've heard it in church, But maybe it was never explained well enough for us to really understand that suffering is not a necessary path to spiritual enlightenment. So Jesus' desire for us was to realize that we, like him, are a beloved child of God, and thus we are heirs to the abundant health, wholeness, happiness, and wonders of the universe. This is why he said, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I came that you may have life and have it abundantly." That's John 10:10. The thief, of course, is our ignorance of our true divine nature. Jesus' whole message is to awaken us to the thief, which is our old fearful way of thinking that leads to beliefs and behaviors which cause turmoil and struggle in our lives. As the psychiatrist character, I can't think of his name, on the TV show New Amsterdam said to Max, who is the hospital administrator. Max was going through some turmoil, and his psychiatrist friend said to him, "If your memories are not giving you the answers you're looking for, maybe you're remembering the wrong memories." And we have a lot of old stuff to undo, a lot of confusion to overcome, right? But what will help us in this undoing and overcoming is the fact that now we know the truth about ourselves and about each other, okay? So as Emmett Fox said, now we have the metaphysical key to unlocking and understanding our life experiences from a spiritual rather than a literal material perspective, okay? This is what the study is about, what we're doing. We're trying to understand the metaphysical key to unlocking and understanding how do I use these principles in my life. And the metaphysical key helps us unlock and reveal the truth so that we can be peaceful enough to respond to life rather than react to life. Right? Responding to life from the spiritual essence of our being brings about prosperity and peace and harmony and good health, while reacting to life, okay, from our ego, from the fear, we know very well, all of us, how it can cause a lot of discomfort and turmoil in our lives. So it's always a matter of choice. Life is really about making choices and learning from those choices so that we can make better or be better prepared to make the next choice and so on and so on. And yes, it's true that making wrong choices can lead to pain and suffering, but the second, and I use pain and suffering, but you know what I mean, whatever turmoil or choice you've made has created for you, okay? But the second beatitude is explaining that suffering has a way of bringing us to God. It's not the preferred way of the universe. Let me be clear about that. This idea of suffering as a way to bring us to God is not the preferred way of the universe, but it seems to be the preferred way of humankind. Okay? Right now, if you look at all the turmoil that's going on in the world, will we learn the lessons that all of this is trying to teach us? Okay? And more people are driven to their knees to pray due to suffering than any other life experience. So when Jesus said, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted," he was not celebrating human suffering. He was not celebrating human suffering. Rather, he was acknowledging that pain and suffering seem to be the catalyst that motivates humankind to turn to God for help. So Jesus was saying that from a relative perspective, suffering is good only if that's the only way you're going to turn to God within you. Because once you turn to God, truly turn to God, you will be comforted. And let me emphasize again, Jesus is saying that suffering is not the preferred method of the universe. But you know, since it seems to be the way of humankind, he's saying, let me help you to understand that you will end up in the same place as one who chooses to avoid the pain and suffering by consciously choosing in their spiritual journey to surrender their life to spirit. Okay, so whichever way you take, what he said, whichever way you take, you'll get there. Right? Now, Ralph Waldo Emerson explains, the wise person in the storm of life prays to God not for safety from danger, but for deliverance from fear. And in the Science of Mind book, we read, fear is a belief in limitation. Fear is a denial that the divine is the center and the source of all that occurs in your life. Okay? So, again, please understand, these are thoughts for us to work with. You know, there's no condemnation in any of this, because just as I am teaching to you, a lot of this really comes out of my own life experience. Okay? So I'm really teaching them to myself and, you know, and sharing them with you. So with that in mind, this talk, you know, with this lesson we just went through, I want to leave you with this affirmation to contemplate this week. It says, in challenging situations, I know that I am not alone. I know with absolute faith that I will be guided through whatever is challenging my peace. Taking a deep breath, I know that all is well in my life. And so it is. Amen. All right. Now we will have meditation with Pamela.
So let us prepare to center ourselves by finding that comfortable place right where you are. Turn away from the world around you for a moment of stillness and a moment of tranquility. We take time to pause. Take a deep breath and feel your body begin to relax. Breathe out any tension and breathe in serenity of spirit. Take another easy breath and allow my words to be the words of your very own heart. Today I am blessed with the gifts of spirit. I am filled with a joyous feeling in my heart. I am a spiritual being living this human life, blessed by spirit in the most miraculous ways. The peace and joy of spirit fills my heart and fills my mind. I am right now immersed in the moment, in the comfort and joy of God's love. Today I am blessed with the gift of life. My mind and my body are whole and well. I am restored to full vitality. My body is a temple that easily and gracefully moves me through my life. Today, God guides my life and leads me to my highest good. God's loving guidance is always with me, uplifting and encouraging me as I move forward in my life's journey. Please join me now as we delve deeper into the silence, where you may pray, receive answers to your prayers, and remain still. Before I leave this time of stillness, I remember that I am blessed and that I am a blessing. I am filled with joy and go about my day as a blessing to myself and others. I remember that Spirit is available to me at any time, day or night. Spirit is always here for me. And now as you begin to come back to your surroundings and rejoin with your Unity family, we give thanks and say, Amen, in the name and nature of our elder brother and way-shower, Jesus the Christ, and so it is and forever shall be. Amen.
Thank you, Hannah. Mm-hmm. All right. So we're going to do something a little different this week. We're getting ready to open our hearts and minds to share some of the treasure that comes into our personal lives with our spiritual home. But we're going to actually acknowledge our own prosperity, our own abundance in our lives. And we're going to do that with what's called the prosperity prayer. So let me bring that up, and we're all going to do this together. Together. Divine love through me blesses and multiplies all that I am, all that I have, all that I give, and all that I receive. Thank you for all the blessings you provide for me and through me. Amen.
Amen.
All right. And so that was how we are acknowledging our own prosperity. Now, by holding our donations to Unity Center of Light or to our spiritual home, we ask you to hold those offerings in your hand and your heart and your mind and your spirit as we say our offering blessing together. We bless and give thanks for these tithes and offerings as they go forth to continue the healing, loving work being done through the Unity Center of Light. Amen. All right. And again, thank you for all of your wonderful donations. And we are going to have
Light Notes. Yes. So the Wednesday discussion group returns with a short series based on the booklet In the Flow of Healing. The booklets are available. Please call Patty if you need one. At the November 6th in-person service, we will have Tapora as our guest musician. Also, we will have available for you the Advent booklets. You should call Patty for those also. Women of Unity, I sent out the next get-together time, so please let me know if you will attend. It is Saturday, December the 17th, and it will be a holiday high tea. It's going to be fun. We have one more announcement with Butch.
Oh, yes. Yeah, so if you... have ever thought to yourself, if you have not done this yet, created will or a trust, set all the things in order for your estate planning. We are having an estate planning on October the 17th at 7 p.m. It will be a Zoom virtual session. And it's being done by, what's the lady's name? Attorney Ethel Mitchell, okay? This is her expertise in helping people to do estate planning. So,
see the updates.
See your e-newsletter or your weekly update, so you can be part of this this incredibly valuable experience.
Yeah, and you need to email Patty if you're going to attend.
Yes. Send an email to Patty. For those who may not know that email, just go down again. Click on, if you're on YouTube, click show more below. And go to our website, okay, and you can let us know there. Okay, so...
What time is it? It's time to bless the path that we each will walk this week. We're going to say our affirmation with passion, zeal, and gusto. Together.
All right.
I go forward in the Spirit of the Lord, knowing my way is made easy, joyous, healthy, and prosperous. And I am grateful.
All right. Let's go right into our prayer for protection.
The light of God surrounds us. I am light. The love of God enfolds us. I am love. The power of God protects us. I am power. The presence of God watches over us. I am presence. Wherever we are, God is. I am divine, and all is well. And that's the truth.
All right. Well, it's been our pleasure to bring you this service today. We look forward to seeing you in Zoom right after this. Tuned into that. Yeah. And again, if you're saying to yourself, well, how do I get into the Zoom fellowship? Again, you get it from your e-newsletter or your weekly update. If you're not in our mailing list where you're getting the e-newsletter or weekly update, again, go to our website where you can sign up for that. But otherwise, have a wonderful week. We look forward to seeing you. All right?
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.